The time of the week that I really wait with bated breath, so to speak, it's a time where I get to kind of kick back and listen to an in-depth interview conducted by none other than the Jazz Cat himself. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, if you'll go to his website, www.thejazzcat.net, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. And joining us right now, live from Southern California, I think he's in Southern Cal. You never know where you're going to find the Jazz Cat. Is Leroy Downs. How you doing, Leroy?
Hey, Gary. How you doing? Yes, I am in Southern California today with another gentleman who happens to reside here in Southern California, Mr. Larry Goldings.
How you doing?
Very good, Larry. How are you?
Good. Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, man, it's such a pleasure. I know we had to postpone before, but I'm glad we got you on today.
Me too.
You know, when I had a radio show at KLON Radio here in Los Angeles, I used to love to play many of your tunes because they were packed with such funky energy, and they would spark a whole hour of programming in that direction. Talk about the synergy and connection you have with two of your partners, Peter Bernstein and Bill Stewart.
Yes, well, you know, we've been a unit for a long, long time, coming on almost 20 years, and we've made many records together, and I've played with Bill Stewart in so many other contexts outside of my organ trio, which is also alternately sometimes Peter Bernstein's organ trio, and sometimes it's even been Bill Stewart's organ trio. Sometimes we just kind of pass the leadership around, and but, you know, I feel a deep connection with both those guys, and that, you know, that makes a big difference when you get to really play a lot. And, you know, Bill and I have been playing together with Scofield, with Maceo Parker a long time ago, and Michael Brecker we played with together, and I turned my computer down here. So that, you know, really goes a long way in terms of feeling like you really know somebody musically and personally. And Peter was really one of the first really heavy jazz musicians that I met. We met when we were in high school, at a high school jazz program at the Eastman School of Music, and really had an immediate kind of hookup, both musically and personally. And so, you know, we just keep continuing to try to grow. And you know, we don't play as often as we'd like as a unit these days. We all are sort of tied to other sidemen responsibilities, but, you know, we're going to definitely keep it going as much as we can.
Isn't it amazing that, you know, a relationship that you make, you never know. 20 years later, you look back and the music's been there together the whole time.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's a little scary, but it's also rare, so you know, that a group can you know, that you even have a regular band that stays together that long. So, you know, we just trying to keep it going. We'll be playing more. We're doing a week at the Village Vanguard in New York for the second time this winter, and hopefully we're going to record another record. So, you know, just anything we can do to keep it going.
Well, that just shows the commitment to the music.
Definitely.
You're listening to Larry Goldings on the show, live with the Jazz Cat on 1410 AM KRML Jazz and Blues Radio on the Four Locals Only show with Mr. Gary Hamada. Now, you're one of those musicians who are not locked in or locked down to any particular genre in the music. I mean, I'm sure that there are other audiences that would claim you as theirs just as much as we here in the jazz world claim you as ours. Mm-hmm. I mean, how does it work when you choose to collaborate with other musicians inside and outside the genre of jazz?
Well, you know, I was pretty much associated with jazz solely up until the time that I started playing with Maceo Parker, and then that sort of got my name around in sort of the more R&B and funky kind of circles, and it just, you know, happened because of being associated with him, and he had a pretty big record that came out, and one thing leads to another, and somebody from that world recommends you for something in say the pop world, and I'm very open to there's so many contexts that I love to be in and see as different kinds of challenges, but you know, 10 years ago I would have never thought that I'd be doing some of the gigs that I'm enjoying now, such as playing with James Taylor, which has been one, like, sort of my regular gig for the last 5 years or so, being his piano player, and enjoying every minute of it. I mean, he was someone I was listening to when I was in high school, and you know, I feel as connected to his songs than I do to a lot of, you know, jazz type of material. I grew up with that, you know, much more than I did actually with jazz when I was, you know, a younger guy. So, and it's a very different kind of challenge, and it's opened up other doors and opportunities. And you know, I approach each differently, but try to find a way to sort of still be Larry Goldings, and that alone is a challenge. And you know, but James knew of me as a, or once he did know me, and he got to know some of my other records. He realized that I would be the right guy to go out on the road with him in a duet situation, because he became familiar with my organ skills and the fact that I cover, you know, bass type of in responsibility. So my jazz stuff certainly did come in handy for James, and he's sort of taking advantage of that in a way. And the fact that I can sort of be supportive in a way that not all piano players are, who don't have experience playing their own bass and things like that. So to me, it's all just connected and interrelated, and I just love going from one thing to another. It's fun and it keeps it interesting.
Yeah, so it looks like a lot of these other genres, they like to have the flavor of jazz in their music.
Well, some do, and you know, James's music always has. He's always had a you know, that as an undercurrent. I mean, he's never been a jazz musician, but he certainly has the flavor in a lot of his writing, and he definitely looks for that in the players that he hires, but it's a challenge to sort of know how to use it and to be careful not to overuse it, and to still play with a purity that his music has, you know, and bring. So I just, you know, I'm really into it, you know.
How do you find the different audiences relating to each of your musical styles? I mean, what common denominator do you think will entice more of those people to come and listen to jazz?
You know, I think what people tell me, who don't know me necessarily in one context or another, is that, you know, I'm supportive, you know, as a player. My main goal in every context is to try to make the other people I'm playing with sound as good as they can sound, you know. So I try to play as musically as I can in every context. If I'm in a situation where I'm able to improvise, I try to play as melodically and musically and as appropriately for the situation as possible. So I think what James likes about me, even though I don't really get the opportunity to do a lot of improvising, is that I know how to sort of color in the right way and be supportive as an accompanist and not get in the way and add a flavors of things that don't negate what he's playing, particularly when we play in this duet context. There's a lot of space, and so I think the common denominator is just musicality and lyricism and taste, and that's what I try to bring to every situation.
Well, you certainly do, man.
Thank you.
Larry Golding's right here on Live with the Jazz Cat on 1410 AM KRML Jazz and Blues Radio on the Four Locals Only Show with Mr. Gary Hamada. At many points in time in our life, we have to step back and evaluate who, what, how, where our purpose is taking us and where we've been. At what point musically have you asked yourself this question, and have you recorded any music that signifies, like, pinnacle point in time for you?
I don't know. That's a hard question to answer. I mean, I do feel like whatever the latest project that I have is sort of the most exciting and is sort of the pinnacle of the moment, you know. But I always know that I'm growing and that I'm going to be hearing different things in the next opportunity I have to record, and I'm always the most excited about the current, you know, project. I do feel like as much as I'm very, very connected to the Oregon Trio context, I do feel like the first time that I recorded outside of that group was sort of an important step for me, because ever since the Oregon thing sort of took over as my identity, which was never my intention, I always felt that I was sort of only thought of as an Oregon player, and so there was a sense of freedom in getting past that on some recent records, and that's a freeing thing, and that's something I want to keep up, whether it's, you know, doing alongside of making organ records, or it's just sort of having my identity be more than that. You know, I want it to be that of the writer, you know, and as just someone who, as a pianist, and as just someone who's, you know, continuing to explore music. And at the same time, the Organ Trio is a very special group, and I want to keep that going. But
yes,
but I do feel I do see other possibilities when I get away from that, and that's a very freeing thing.
Well, you know, it's very interesting that you say that, because I like I said, I used to play all of those organ records. I love them, and I went out to see you perform one time here in Los Angeles, and you're on piano. It just kind of shocked me,
mm-hmm.
And then that's kind of when it hit me. Oh, okay, you know, obviously organist, pianist, he can do it all. But I just thought of you, as you say, as an organist, but it was just nice to see you break away from that. And then I heard albums come out with the piano sound on it. So
right.
I felt the diversity.
Right.
On Long Story Short, we
yeah.
hear you mostly playing solo piano, although you do have your boys, Peter and Bill, appearing as well.
Right.
The melodies are simply stated, and if I'm correct, are part of a theme-based period piece. How do the 1930s strike a chord with your spirit?
Yeah, there's that element in there. I've always been sort of into what's often been called sort of an Americana kind of sound. You know, that's sort of a broad name, but you know, everything from you know, Aaron Copland to you know, the American popular song masters. It's hard to pinpoint what that means, but there's a certain quality about music that was written in the early part of the 20th century, American music, that really is a special kind of sound for me, whether it's Aaron Copland or whether it's some of the great early American sort of Broadway writers, American popular songwriters, and then there's people who there are people like Randy Newman who kind of are able to sort of capture that sort of Americana kind of sound, and I draw from that, which harkens back to like a Stephen Foster kind of harmonic kind of sound. And I just think there was so much great music written in that era. The whole record isn't that, but there's definitely a melodicism and a lyricism. And the other thing I'm going for in this record is not necessarily a lot of improvisation. You know, there's a lot of a bunch of pieces that are just very sort of short kind of statements, and not a lot of development necessarily in the performances, because I want to just sort of state a theme and a melody, and it's a more song-like type of record and more lyrical, and the songs are very short. And then there are some solo piano pieces that are completely improvised, but again, I try to make my statements sort of brief and to tell a story. And it's something that I sometimes miss from jazz records, when there's too many soloists and, there's not a cohesive kind of story that's being told. So I try to sort of be, although in the right hands, I mean, I certainly love listening to long solos, but, I try to be as cohesive and as melodic and as lyrical as I could in this record.
That's a long story short, the brand new album.
I could have made that a shorter story, that explanation.
Well, it's synonymous, long story short. Larry Golding's right here on Live with the Jazz Cat on 1410 AM KRML Jazz and Blues Radio on the For Locals Only show with Gary Hamada. You know, you're fortunate enough to have a very beautiful daughter, and that I'm sure shed so much light in your life. How has being a parent changed your musical being? And if your daughter has a melody, how does it go?
Well, if she had a melody, it would be both pretty silly, definitely a sense of humor, and very beautiful. And for our son, the same. We have a son who's almost is 4, and she's 7. But children change everything. I mean, they really make you think about, for one thing, your career and how traveling, really, the idea of traveling and leaving home really changes when you have kids. And just in that sense, it just really makes you think about really what are your goals here. I mean, as a musician, is it, and your priorities. I've struggled with that, with the whole life of a musician, which up till now, anyway, has meant a lot of traveling. And so you make different decisions based on whether or not you're comfortable with, leaving home so much. And that's one big way that children have changed my musical life. I don't know if they've changed my actual music, but certainly it's posed a lot of questions about lifestyle and how you see do you see yourself going on the road 4 to 6 months out of the year the way I've been doing for so long. And you just have to accept that new reality and really try to answer those questions for yourself. For me, it's really meant trying to stay home more. And if that's the case, then how does that change the way you make your musical living? And but it's a wonderful, wonderful thing, and I love them more than anything. And they're both very musical, and that and that is also incredible thing to watch too, especially when they're only, you know, like Ben is only three and he's already, you know, we have a set of drums for him and he can play. I have to say, he knows what he's doing.
Of course,
he's got a great time and he plays along with Beatles records and knows when to hit the crash cymbal and it's crazy and it's a lot of fun.
Well, listen, we're running out of time here. I got one more question I want to ask you, and that's how many instruments do you play, and do the different sides of Larry Goldings come out when you play them?
Well, I don't play anything other than keyboard instruments, but, you know, it would really be piano and organ, and aside from that, I mean, I do dabble on the accordion, and I've recorded on the accordion. In fact, the last Curtis Stigers record that I played on and produced, he wanted me to play a whole bunch of accordion on it, but I don't consider myself as anything other than a pianist and organist, but I really love coloring, particularly on records, on some of the other keyboard instruments. I have a pump organ and a harmonium and celeste and, you know, glockenspiel, and all that stuff really can add other colors on a record or live, but I don't play. I wish I played other instruments like wind instruments, and I wish I sang better than I do. And, but, you know, it's all about color and texture, and that's why I like to utilize some of the other keyboard instruments.
Well, you do it well, man. It's been great talking to you. Larry Goldings on Live with the Jazz Cat. Thank you, Larry.
All right, you're welcome.
Thank you, gentlemen. If you would like to get more information regarding the Jazz Cat, go to his website. And again, that website is www.thejazzcat.net. You'll be able to get a replay of not only this interview with Larry Goldings, but also all the other archived interviews held exclusively here on KRML Jazz and Blues Radio. Thank you.